Because at some point, whether we want to admit it or not, the fate of fatherhood is just this. Our earthly fathers will fail, but our heavenly Father never will. And so wherever you're at on that spectrum today, you may be one that comes in and you've had a great relationship with your earthly father, and you would do anything to get one more minute back on this earth with him. And you may be one who, as your father ages, you have become the father, and almost like he has become the son. And there's all kinds of stages that take place. Your father may not have been a very good earthly father. People who sometimes were physically abused, sometimes were verbally abused. No matter what you did, you were never right. And so you feel this today as you come in. And so we often want to ignore all of these emotions on a Father's Day, but they're very real, aren't they? And so what we recognize today, and what I hope that we do, is that we don't hit too hard on men and fathers, because oftentimes Mother's Day we like celebrate moms and say you're the best. On Father's Day we say you're the worst, and here's the three things you need to do to be a better father. That's often what happens. But what we want to do today is give each other grace. It doesn't mean that we're going to give you a license as an earthly father to fail. It just means that we're not perfect, and that sometimes there's failure on this earth. It doesn't mean that if something happened to you that wasn't fair, it doesn't mean that it's just easily forgiven. It just means that earthly fathers fail, but our heavenly Father never will. And each of us has experienced this in one way or another. If you haven't, you will. And what I know as a father, to be, kind of have become, but to be, the hard thing to admit is this: I will fail as a father, but my heavenly Father never will. And so we trust in him. Even the nation of Israel, this God-chosen people, God-delivered, wilderness-living, surviving for 40 years, complaining people of God, they experienced this fate of fatherhood. After Moses and Joshua led them out of Egypt and then into the Promised Land, they had one ruler, one leader, if you will give me the liberty to say, one father after another who failed them, who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And they decided in 1 Samuel that they didn't want just any leader. They wanted another leader, another king, because they wanted to be like all the other nations of the world. And so they experienced Saul. And Saul was, here was his credentials in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 2. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as he could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Sounds like a good candidate to me. Handsome. Tall. And so this was their first king. And as we know, as you read throughout 1 Samuel, you will find that Saul fails to be the leader that he should have been. He fails to be a leader over Israel. And so the nation of Israel have experienced the fate of fatherhood and the leader that's over them. That their leader has failed. And yet every time their leader failed, what they recognize is that even when their leader failed, God never did. Because earthly fathers will fail, but heavenly fathers never will. After this, in 1 Samuel, you have another guy in our story. You have the nation of Israel, but then you have a guy named Samuel. This servant listening, if you read back in the story, when he was born, he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You have this servant listening preacher who tries to follow everything that God tells him to do. And yet in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you notice, what was he doing? He was grieving over Saul. It's really hard when you feel like you're being obedient to the Lord and your obedience leads to a failure, at least in our eyes, because he had anointed Saul to be king over Israel, and Saul was disobedient to the Lord, and eventually the Lord rejects Saul, and the Spirit of God leaves Saul and goes on to David, and Samuel feels like he's responsible for this. Have you ever been there? You feel like you're doing what God has told you to do, and you do it right, and you follow the Scripture, and yet what you experience is what appears to be failure. And so you have Samuel who recognized this, that even when he fails, his heavenly Father never does. If you go throughout the text, you find that Samuel not only failed once, he failed twice. The first time when he anointed Saul, remember the credentials, he was what? Handsome and tall. He looked at the outward appearance. And then Samuel goes and he's commanded to go and anoint one of eight of Jesse's sons. And the very first son that's presented to him, here's what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Go ahead a few slides. I skipped that. Go ahead a few more. When they arrived, Samuel saw, and what did he say? Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said, said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Who's he speaking of? Appearance or height? Saul, who he already rejected. So here is this Samuel, who is this pastor, who is this servant listening man of God, who's supposed to always listen and do what the Lord tells him to do. And he failed in the first anointing and he's about to fail again. But he reminds them the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so here you have Samuel, who failed to be a leader, to be the man God called him to be. And yet, even though he failed, his heavenly Father was faithful. Earthly fathers will fail, but our heavenly Father never will. There's a third part of this story. You have the story of David, and this is the part that I hope we hear today, is that David is this slingshot shooting, giant slaying man. And David was became the next king over Israel, except David had a father named Jesse. And David was the one who, when all of the other seven sons were invited to the table to be anointed the next king, David was the one who didn't receive the invitation. Or if he was invited, he decided not to come. He was told to be out in the fields taking care of the sheep. How would you like to be David in the story? He's the one that people looked at and said he wasn't old enough to be king. He wasn't strong enough to be king. He wasn't the wise enough to be king. I mean, at least don't you invite the guy just in case? And here he was, forgotten, pushed out, overlooked, perhaps overworked, overthinked, undervalued. How would you like to be his father, who invited seven of the sons, but not the eighth son? And we kind of give Samuel a hard time because Samuel saw the first son that was presented, but not all the rest. If you read through the scripture, the next sons who were presented were then by Jesse. It says that then Jesse presented them to the Lord, and you can see that in verses 8. See, then Jesse called and had him pass in front of Samuel. Nope, not him. And they go through this seven times. Up next, I think what Jesse did is he took and placed his kids in order of the ones he thought were worthy of being the next king. He was wrong on all them fronts. And then the preacher has to ask him, do you have any more sons? And here's David. He's this forgotten about son. How would you like to be the brothers, too, of David? Three of them we know from 1 Samuel 17. We know that they were trained to be in Saul's army. So they literally had the military training to be a soldier. And so they were next in line to be kings. You're the one who's worked for that position. You're the one who has the most experience. You're the one who's ready and waiting, and they've been grooming you for this, and yet you're the one who gets passed over of a promotion. You're the one who gets forgotten. You're the one who feels like no matter what I do, it's never good enough, apparently, to be what I receive. See, we've all at some place experienced the fate of fatherhood, and yet here's what happens in all of the story. God still anoints the person he had for the job. Because earthly fathers will fail, but our heavenly Father never will. There's a lot of places that we find ourselves in this story. Perhaps we've felt like the nation of Israel. We've had maybe leaders of our nation who have failed us in some way. is that they've changed a law that's affected you and your family and hurt you. And we recognize the failure that sometimes happens in leaders. Perhaps in your workplace, you've had a new boss who comes in. They've never worked in your line of business and have no idea what it is to do your job, and yet they want to tell you to do your job anyway. And you find that earthly leaders fail. Perhaps you've experienced this in the church. We as pastors, we fail. We don't get it right. And we experience this in every organization that we have. And yet the reminder today is very simply this. Earthly fathers, earthly leaders, earthly kings will fail, but our Heavenly Father never will. Perhaps you find yourself like Samuel. Have you ever failed other people? Let other people down? If you catch in that story, Samuel almost missed the very next thing God wanted him to do, because he was still grieving over a mistake he felt he had made. And yet he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And I imagine what Samuel is thinking. If I just would have known, I could have done it differently. What else could I have said to Saul so that Saul wouldn't have been disobedient? I'm speaking to some of you parents. You're wondering, what could we have done differently? What could we have said differently to have helped them to not allow our children to fall in these mistakes? And the truth is, you were being as obedient to the Lord as you knew how to be. And yet you still feel like you're caught in this failure, this struggle as a parent, as a leader. You ever been in over your head, not knowing what to do, how to handle a situation? Perhaps we feel like David, often the overlooked, the underappreciated, the outcast, the undervalued. Perhaps we felt like Jesse sometimes. We failed to recognize the potential in our own kids. You ever notice how sometimes parents try and make their kids be who they want them to be? Notice this. I have a pastor friend who his son is going to be a pediatric heart specialist. And it's an amazing story of how scholarships lined up. He ended up at the school that he was, and all of these things working out. And here's what happens when we as parents hear this, or at least we as dads maybe, is that we want our kids to match up to the level of other parents' kids. And so we push our kids and we tell them, you can be anything that you want to be. And we try and create this purpose for them, but what we're doing and trying to push them really hard in sports or really hard in academics is we're setting them up for something they were not created for. And we're actually setting them up for failure. Because Jesse sent 7 sons before the king, and not one of them were right. That's the other part of this. How do you think he felt about what he did to his 7 sons, not including David? And so we find ourselves somewhere in this fate of fatherhood. Or we could be like David's brothers. We've worked hard, we've trained, we're next in line, only to be passed over again. See what happens sometimes when we are at the hands of failure, when we've experienced failure or we've been the ones to fail. We often will go looking for love that never fails in all the wrong places. In 2015, the National Center for Fathering released the following statistics. In the United States of America, there's over 20 million kids who are in a fatherless home. Of those 20 million, they are 4 times more likely to grow up in poverty, which leads to 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from a fatherless home. 71% of all adolescent substance abusers come from a fatherless home. 80% of adolescents that are in psychiatric hospitals come from a fatherless home. They're 2 times more likely to commit suicide. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 70% of adolescents in juvenile correction come from a fatherless home. 60% who come from a fatherless home have committed the crime of rape. 20%, they're 20 times more likely to be incarcerated. They're 9 times more likely to be raped or sexually abused by a man living in their household who is not their biological father. Why do I tell you all of that? You know what breaks my heart about those 20 million kids? You know the best characteristic of a father? A father's love. That's it. And if you've had a good earthly father, you know that your earthly father loves you and will do anything for you. And for all of those 20 million plus kids who grow up in a fatherless home, you know all that they're looking for is to be loved by a father. And do you know what our Heavenly Father specializes in? You know what He's really, really good at? What He wants everybody to know more than anything else about Him? He loves you. He is crazy about you. He will do anything to be in your life outside of taking away your own free will. He will give up His own son, His own opportunity to be a father so that He can have you as a son and daughter in Him. So what I want you to know today is what you've already heard. It's a profound message. Your Heavenly Father loves you. If you are an earthly father and you've failed, that's because you cannot be who only our Heavenly Father can be. And that's perfect. If you have been the one who has ever been failed on, I want you to know your Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you. Because earthly fathers will fail, but our Heavenly Father never will. I want to speak just a little bit now to the fathers, and then I'll come back to all of us. Earthly fathers, give yourself grace. Give yourself some grace. Because as men, we want to be the very best that we can be. And nobody typically has to tell us where we're not good at, where we're not strong at. Nobody typically has to tell us of our own mistakes. And here's what I want you to know. You cannot be who God is. And God is not calling you to be who only He is, which is perfect and complete in every way. This isn't a license to intentionally fail. It's just forgiveness when we do. Michael Chabon authors an essay collection entitled Manhood for Amateurs. Here's how he describes a father. A father is a man who fails every day. So what are you called to be as fathers? It's real simple. Be present. Be present. Because when you're present, you know what your kids will know? They are loved by you. They are loved by you. Kids won't remember the mistakes you've made, the failures you make. You know what they'll remember most of all? Whether or not you were present and whether or not you loved them. That's it. Because some of you are sitting here thinking, you had that good earthly father, and you're thinking, well, I know he wasn't perfect. But if you were to ask me of an exact mistake, well, what you remember is that your dad was there for you and that you're loved by him. And no matter what you do, His love will never change. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. It says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. We won't always get it right, but you know what we need to do above anything else? It's to love. Profound message, isn't it? Because what does our Heavenly Father do? He loves. And so what we're called to do is love. Derek Jeter is perhaps one of the greatest shortstops in Major League Baseball history. He has 3,645 hits, 5 World Series rings, 14 All-Star appearances, and without a doubt, a future Hall of Famer. He's currently working to try and purchase the Miami Marlins, a multi-billion dollar deal that they're trying to work through. Here's what Derek Jeter says about fatherhood. He's about to be a father. He said, you know, I prided myself in my career to be prepared at all games. Anytime I'm unprepared, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm unprepared. I'm unprepared. What he forgets is that it's not about being a prepared father. It's about being a present father. Because when we're a present father, we love. We love. and love covers over a multitude of sins. If you're here today, perhaps that's not the earthly father you've had. Perhaps you are a father and you don't feel like that's the father you've been. I want to remind you of something. And I don't want to say this lightly. Can you think about giving your earthly father some grace? There's sometimes things that happen that are really hurtful, and it takes a long time to work through. I'm not asking you to get through those overnight. I'm just reminding us of one simple truth, that if we never extend grace to our fathers, to our parents, to our leaders, what we're doing is that we're claiming them to be who only our Heavenly Father is, perfect. So what I want you to know today is that if you have ever, anybody has ever failed you, your Heavenly Father loves you. And it's not your earthly father's love you're trying to get. You know the love you really need is a perfect love that only comes from the Father. And that's the love that you can have. So I want to just tell you this. If you feel like the forgotten person today, your Father's not forgotten you. If you feel like you're underappreciated in everything you do, maybe in your home, maybe in the workplace, maybe in church, your Heavenly Father sees you and He loves you. You may be trying to get everything perfect in your life, and no matter how much you try and get perfect, you can feel that failure. And there's always somebody who's reminding you of that. And sometimes it's the voices in our own head. Satan himself, the father of lies, who's telling us how much of a failure you are. You know that's not how your Heavenly Father sees you. He sees you as a son of the Most High God. He sees you as a daughter of the Most High God, and He loves you. He's not forgotten you. You may feel like you're in the field like David was, but God still anointed him. It was David who became king, not the ones who everybody else thought should be kings. It was David who defeated the giants, not the ones who were qualified to defeat the giants. Here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to ask Roman to come back. We're going to play a closing song. It's really familiar to us. We played it last week, and it simply sings, "O Come to the Altar." Here's the invitation I want to give to you today. If you're a father, and you just need to receive some grace in your own life, will you come and rest in the Father's love? Say, you know what? I don't have this thing figured out. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm giving my best. And you just need to be reminded that your Heavenly Father loves you and has not abandoned you. Man, this is the perfect time just to say, Father, I know your arms are open wide, and I need to be loved on. If you're here today and you have experienced failure, somebody's let you down, you know, His arms are open wide. He just wants to remind you that you are loved by Him. And we can rest in His love. What shall separate us from the love of God? The short version, nothing. Nothing. This message might not be for every person today, but I do believe it to be for someone or someones. If you just need to be loved on, I'm not going to bother you today. You want to come and pray, rest in the Father's love, to be reminded and assured that He is with you. He's not forgotten you. He is faithful. And best of all, what He is about to do is greater than anything you've ever seen, because that's who our God is. He's always working for our good according to His purposes. Let's stand together, sing this closing song, but let's be sure and sing it to Him.